Just a couple of days ago, we celebrated the great one of the greatest feasts of the entire year in the church, the great feast of the Epiphany, which is a very important event in the Christmas cycle. It ranks even higher than Christmas Day itself. And we're still within its octave. And on this great day, the three kings arrived from the east following the miraculous star. And they came to the house where our Lord was staying, and they offered him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they came to represent the peoples of the Gentiles to accept and adore our Lord. When our Lord was born, it was necessary for him to manifest himself to some people, but not to everyone. If everyone knew that he was God, according to St. Paul, the Jews would not have crucified him. And if everyone in the world had known that our Lord was God, they would not have any merit for their virtue of faith, because faith is the belief in things that appear not. If everyone had known that our Lord was the Son of God, it's also possible that they might have had doubts about whether he was man as well. So, in the wise providence of God, his birth was revealed to some people, a select number, who in turn were to tell the rest of the world about it. It says in the Acts of the Apostles that our Lord was manifest not to everyone, but to witnesses preordained by God who would preach him to others. So who were these people that he was directly revealed to? Well, before our Lord was born, it was only Our Lady and Saint Joseph that knew about his coming. But after he was born, he revealed himself to people from every station of life. He revealed himself to the shepherds, who were Israelites, and also to the Magi, who were Gentiles. And the shepherds were nearby, but the Magi came from a long distance away. The Magi were wise men. They were men of great power, who knew a lot about the movements of the heavenly bodies and were in charge of entire kingdoms, while the shepherds were from the lowest ranks of society and knew very little beyond how to take care of their sheep and how to worship their God. And so our Lord revealed himself to both of these classes of people so that each one could reveal him in turn to the people that they associated with, and thus cover a good part of society. The Magi came from the east, where daylight begins, because the sun rises in the east, so it makes sense that they were the first to be called to the faith from the Gentiles, because the faith is the light of our soul. We don't know exactly what country they came from. There have been writers that said that they came from what is now Saudi Arabia, or just north of the Persian Gulf, which would have been Chaldea, or the area of Babylon. We don't know for sure, but we know for certain that they came from the land of ignorance, from pagans, that didn't know the true God and were not expecting him to come. But even the pagans themselves were given a few signs from God about the coming of our Lord. The early fathers of the church mentioned several very interesting events. Of course, in the Old Testament, there was a pagan sorcerer named Balaam in the book of Numbers who prophesied about our Lord. He was actually forced by God to prophesy about him. He was sent by one of the pagan kings that they were fighting against to go and curse the Israelites before a great battle. But God prevented him from saying those words and forced him instead to give a prophecy about the coming king of Israel and to say that a star would rise from Jacob. Later on, according to Saint Jerome, who wrote in the 4th century, there was a miraculous spring of oil that erupted out of the ground in Rome in the year 38 BC, and it flowed all the way across the ground until it reached the Tiber River, and it flowed in, and it, of course, spread oil on top of the river. The location of the spring is actually still known, and it's venerated in the church of Santa Maria in Trastevere. This is a very ancient church. It's considered one of the first churches devoted to Our Lady in the city of Rome. And in this place, there's a hole in the floor over the exact spot where this miraculous spring erupted out of the ground. Saint Jerome says that the Jews in Rome, when this happened, took this as a sign that God's grace would soon begin to flowing from Rome out into the rest of the world. His grace was symbolized by this oil. And obviously, that belief came true. We know also that in Spain, there was a sign that appeared in the sky of three suns that appeared at the same time, and they gradually merged into one. This is told by Eusebius, an early historian, and it's also quoted by St. Thomas Aquinas in his Summa as a sign that our Lord was going to be born that was given to pagans. But apart from these rare exceptions, the Gentiles did not know that our Lord was going to be born. Now, our Lord was born for the salvation of man, and in order for us to be saved, we have to believe in his divinity and in his humanity. So our Lord had to be accepted as both God and man. So if he had worked a large number of miracles from the very beginning of his life, people would not have believed that he was truly man. So because of this, his birth and his childhood were very much like that of everyone else, except for the event of the three kings. We read in the Gospel today that he advanced in wisdom and age and grace like a normal child. And that, of course, means only his human nature advanced in wisdom and age and grace. His divinity had the fullness of all of those things. But the way that our Lord revealed himself to the world was perfectly suited to the people that he was revealing himself to. We see that the shepherds were Jews. They had been accustomed to receive revelations directly from God. So the angels appeared to them and told them that our Lord had been born. Whereas the Magi were experts on the stars. So our Lord revealed himself to them by means of a miraculous star, and he drew them in by that means. And Saint Leo tells us that when this star appeared, they also had an illumination of grace at the same time to tell them that they were supposed to follow it and that it would lead them to our Lord. There's an ancient tradition in the East that the star actually appeared about 2 years before our Lord was born to give the wise men enough time to travel that great distance so that they arrived just at the right time, just 12 days after our Lord was born. And this would explain why Herod ordered all of the boys 2 years of age or younger to be killed, because he assumed that maybe our Lord was born when the star appeared in the sky. St. John Chrysostom says that the star that appeared to them was not one of the heavenly bodies, because the heavenly bodies move from east to west across the sky, whereas the route from Saudi Arabia, if that's where they came from, to Bethlehem was a more sort of a northwesterly direction. Also, the star was seen not only at night, but even during the day. We know also that the star vanished when the three kings arrived in Jerusalem. And after the three kings were done speaking to Herod, it reappeared, and then it brought them straight to where our Lord was. So for all of these reasons, St. John Chrysostom and St. Thomas Aquinas and the fathers in general believe that this star was not one of the heavenly bodies, but it was a miraculous light that was actually in the earth's atmosphere some distance above the ground so that it could guide the kings more precisely. On the Feast of the Epiphany, the Church actually celebrates three events in the life of our Lord. Of course, first of all is his adoration by the Magi. But also, it celebrates his baptism by Saint John the Baptist, and thirdly, his miracle at Cana, where he changed water into wine. Each one of these three events proved that our Lord was truly God. The Bible doesn't tell us the exact number of the Magi, but we know from tradition that there were three of them, and that their names were Melchior, Balthazar, and Caspar. Their bodies are buried today in the Cathedral of Cologne in Germany, in an enormous, beautiful golden sarcophagus, which is the largest reliquary in the Western world. It was opened in 1864, and it was found to contain the bodies of three men. One, a young man, the second one, middle-aged, and the third one was very old. When these three kings arrived at the feet of our Lord, it says in Scripture that they fell down on their knees and adored our Lord and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They gave him gold as a gift for a king. That was the custom of the Eastern nations. They gave him frankincense, which is offered only to God. And they gave him myrrh, which was for his human nature, because they knew that one day he would die, and he would be wrapped in a winding cloth, and that myrrh would be needed to embalm his body. And the fathers of the church teach that they were inspired by the Holy Ghost to choose these particular gifts to offer our Lord. And what a beautiful tradition these three kings started. Their example has been followed by so many great Catholic kings since that time, some of whom have even merited to be canonized saints. From the time of Constantine, the first Catholic ruler of the world, all the way through the centuries of the ages of faith, the kings of Christendom have followed this example, and they have brought the same gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh every year to the church to offer them to our Lord in honor of this great event and to pay their homage and to follow the example of these three kings. And their peoples with them have done the same thing, so that we have a lot of very beautiful traditions surrounding this feast. This has always been celebrated with beautiful customs and with great splendor over the centuries. I think when we see the three kings every year, we all wish that we had rulers like them now. We wish that we were governed by kings who would be willing to travel halfway across the world to lay precious gifts at the feet of the child Jesus. But in punishment for our sins, God has allowed us instead to have rulers who are men of enormous wickedness, who act a lot more like Herod than the three Magi. But even if the great ones of this world are now seeking to kill our Lord and his church, like King Herod did, we can still offer him our own humble gifts of love and adoration. We can be like the shepherds, even if we can't be like the kings. We can leave our flocks and we can come and adore him. So let us do that during this octave of this holy feast. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.